Hey, what's going on? Welcome back to Philadelphia Eagles Talk. I'm your host, Kevin Woodman, and today we have some breaking news. That's right, the Philadelphia Eagles have been a part of the trade frenzy that has been going on around the top of the NFL draft. The Philadelphia Eagles have officially traded out of the number 6 pick. They have traded back to get more firepower in this year's draft, and more importantly, more firepower in next year's draft. I'll give you guys the lead here. I mean, there's a lot of stories going on right now, as well as the San Francisco 49ers. Niners essentially trading up to the number 3 pick, ensuring themselves a quarterback, one of the top 3 quarterbacks. There's been some rumors out there that the Eagles were in on the number 3 pick trade, that they were actually trying to trade up with the Dolphins to get the number 3 pick. And there's definitely some breadcrumbs there, considering that the Eagles traded back to 12 with the Dolphins, who essentially just traded out of the number 3 pick. So very interesting stuff going on. I'm going to give you guys my thoughts on that, but let's just go ahead and let's get right into the details of this trade, because essentially this is something that, you know, this answers a lot of questions for the Eagles. So the Eagles have officially traded out of number 6. They will get pick number 123 this year from the Dolphins, which is a 4th round pick, but then they also get the Dolphins 1st round pick next year, which I think is very interesting. I think that'll probably be a late round pick, I would think anyway. I mean, ultimately, you know, that pick has a lot of potential. The 1st round pick of the Dolphins next year in 2022 has a lot of boom or bust potential, considering that this is a team that at the moment is riding with a quarterback that they don't essentially believe in, considering that they benched him last year. The Dolphins are definitely a team on the rise, but when you look at that division, number one, the Patriots are going to be back in that division. They went out and made a lot of signings. They made a lot of good moves. I think that Cam Newton's second year in the division is going to be much better than his first year in the division, his second year in the offense, things like that. The Bills are definitely going to be in the running for the Super Bowl. So those are two teams that could easily push the Dolphins down the board a bit and knock them out of any, you know, we could be getting a mid-round first out of that. If a few things go the Eagles' way, like say Tua turns out to have an even worse second year than he did his first year, if, you know, the first year struggles were more a sign of him not being a very good quarterback, they don't have Ryan Fitzpatrick to turn to anymore. They don't have a capable backup quarterback to turn to save their season or to turn their season around. They're betting it all on Tua this year. So if Tua fails, or if Tua, he has major injuries in his past, if he gets injured and they have no quarterback going forward, that pick could easily be a top 5, top 10 pick, considering, you know, they don't really have a backup plan. So really all hinges on Tua, which ultimately when they traded out of the 3rd pick, they pretty much planted their flag in the fact that they're sticking with Tua as their franchise quarterback right now. Because now, even though they traded back in the 6, I don't know if they really traded back to get another quarterback. If you really wanted a quarterback, you would have stuck at 3 and you would have guaranteed yourself one of the top 3 guys. Because to me, there's 2 levels to this quarterback draft. There's the first 3 guys, which is obviously you're not getting Trevor Lawrence. Zach Wilson is still, he's the guy who has his pro day going right now. As all these major trades are dropping, all these GMs, all these, you know, offensive coaches, all that stuff, they're right now watching this guy practice, watching this guy throw the football, and boom, these trades are flying off the board. So without a doubt in my mind, when the Niners trade up to the number 3 pick, they did that because they know that they're guaranteed one of the 3 major guys, which to me, there's 2 tiers here. There's 3 guys that are look like surefire prospects, which Trevor Lawrence is obviously going number 1. Number 2 is either going to be Zach Wilson from BYU or Justin Fields, who has been the number 2 projected quarterback in the draft pretty much all the college season. So they're guaranteeing themselves one of those 3 guys, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Dolphins could have had them. If they really wanted that top tier of quarterback, they could have had them and just stayed at 3. Them trading back into 6 is probably more about getting one of the receivers, getting one of the weapons. I'm not 100% sure. I know a lot of Eagles fans really had their hearts set on these weapons. Pitts, guys like Waddle, guys like Chase, obviously Jamar Chase and Devontae Smith. You're going to still have a chance of getting one of those guys at 12. I love this move. I called this move a mile away. If you've been listening to any of my podcasts, the last couple of podcasts through the last couple of weeks, I've been saying flat out that the Eagles draft history, their draft philosophy does not lend to them drafting any position at 6 outside of quarterback, which they obviously value, and offensive and defensive line. In fact, I even went a bit further, and this is why you should listen to this podcast. Aside from the fact that I essentially called this, I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I called this a mile away over the last couple of podcasts. I've said it multiple times. The Eagles should either draft a quarterback 6 or trade out and let somebody draft a quarterback 6. That's exactly what happened. The Eagles traded out weeks before the draft. But like I said, I did a lot of research planning this podcast. It's going to come up very favorably now as the Eagles have essentially traded out. So I went over, Jeffrey Lurie's owned the Philadelphia Eagles for about 25 years. So I went back through 25 years worth of NFL drafts by the Eagles, and I essentially discovered a multitude of things that basically can guess exactly what the Eagles are going to do with their draft pick. Now, as far as being in the top 10, they've been in the top 10 five times. Wait, one, two, three, four, five times. In those five top 10 picks, they drafted the exact same positions that I've been saying that the Eagles always draft when they are that high, the positions that they value the most, which is quarterback, offensive line, and defensive line. They've been in the top five times in 25 years. They were also 11th once. They drafted Trey Thomas, you know, when they were, that's an 11th pick though. So I'm going to include that in this. So let's say they were in the top 11 six times, which is ultimately, you know, a very high spot to be in the draft. They drafted offensive line, Lane Johnson, Trey Thomas. They drafted defensive line, Corey Simon and Mike Mamula. Obviously, Mike Mamula, you know, he's a sore spot. And then they drafted quarterback, Donovan McNabb and Carson Wentz. This is exactly what I've been saying. When the Eagles draft this high, these are the only positions that they value, that their organizational philosophy values as picks worthwhile to draft that high. Not receivers, not cornerbacks, not linebackers, which is a lot of things that fans want. The Eagles themselves, when they have a pick that high, they really only go quarterback, which they feel comfortable obviously with Jalen Hurts. This trade says a lot about Jalen Hurts, that they are moving forward with Jalen Hurts. There's no other, you know, maybe they, I don't know if they draft Mac Jones now at 12 or something like that. I don't even know if he'll be there. I mean, quarterbacks will be flying off the board, but it says to me that they are going forward with Jalen Hurts. Now they have possibly three first round picks next year between the Eagles, the Colts, and the Colts obviously from the Carson Wentz trade, if that, you know, works out the way that they hope that they get a first round pick from that. And now this pick that they're getting from the Dolphins, they'll have three first-round picks. So if Jalen Hurts doesn't work out, if this season is a monumental bust, they can easily just package all these picks and try to move up again and try to get a quarterback next year. So they're in a perfect position if this year doesn't work out with Jalen Hurts to get a quarterback next year. But with an even bigger picture look, like I said, when I went back through this team's 25-year history, it's pretty obvious that their philosophy is number one defensive line, number two is offensive line. Because in the first and second round picks over the last 25 years, they have drafted 10 offensive linemen, 14 defensive linemen. 11 of those 14 defensive linemen, by the way, were first round picks. So that, you know, if anything projects what the Eagles might be looking to do in this particular draft, it's going to be defensive line or even possibly wide receiver. The second highest position that the Eagles have drafted throughout the last 25 years in the first two rounds has been wide receiver, but has typically been in the second round. They have 9 second round picks on wide receiver in the last 25 years, meaning only 4 times did they draft a receiver in the first round, and the majority of them were in the teens to late round. I mean, they were mostly like guys like Jeremy Maclin, who was the 18th pick, guys like Freddie Mitchell, who was like the 26th pick. They don't typically draft any, they never drafted, in Jeffrey Lurie's history, they've never drafted a linebacker in the first round. They've only drafted one cornerback. I know a lot of people were really hopeful for cornerback. They've only done it once, and that was Lito Shepard at 26th overall, which, if you guys remember, that was the year that they had Troy Vincent, Bobby Taylor, and I want to say most of their secondary was kind of old, and they essentially just went secondary with the first three picks. They drafted Lito Shepard, they drafted Sheldon Brown in the third, and they drafted the safety. I can't remember at the top of my head as I'm rattling this, but they drafted, I mean, he was a good player too, which is sad that I can't remember him right now, but ultimately they drafted 3 straight secondary picks because they were so set. The team was so set. It was a Super Bowl caliber team. They just wanted to make sure that they were turning over talent on the roster. So essentially, they just drafted, you know, cornerbacks to replace those cornerbacks. That's how set that team was. They had no immediate needs. They just had future needs, and they were drafting for that. The Eagles are not in that position. So you can wipe cornerback off the board. You can essentially, based off of the draft history, the point of this entire research that I did is based off the Eagles' draft history, you can essentially tell that the Eagles are going to go either defensive line or offensive line at 13 or 12 now, which is where they're at, or receiver. I think receiver's definitely on the board. And for people that are upset that the Eagles traded out, which was looking like a surefire chance at either, you know, one of the top receivers, the Eagles still have a lot of firepower that they could trade up. They now have 12 draft picks. If they want to move back up to get one of these receivers, they can do that. But they could also sit on their hands, and I'm pretty sure one of these top receivers will be there at 12. There's 4 guys on the board. you can pretty much guarantee, I would imagine now, that all five quarterbacks, all five, Mac Jones and Trey Lance included, will probably all be off the board by the time the Eagles pick, leaving only six possible picks, because the Eagles pick 12, leaving only six possible guys to go in between them and the Eagles. And there's four receivers that I would take any one of them: Waddle, Devontae Smith, Jamar Chase, or Pitts. I would take any one of them. So that's nine guys. The Eagles are 12th. If they want to trade up, they can, but you have to remember there's other positions. I can guarantee that Penei Sewell is probably going to go in the top five. There's plenty of defensive players that are worthwhile to go this high. So ultimately, the Eagles can sit on their hands. They've accrued an additional first-round draft pick, and they're going to get one of these receivers. I'm pretty much predicting, which, like I said, I've been predicting for a while now, that they should trade back, let one of these receivers fall to them, and just take the best one available. And that looks like exactly what they're going to do, which makes me very happy. Now, I can see on social media, a lot of Eagles fans are not very happy, which, you know, like I said, they're not thinking big picture here. They're not looking at it the way the Eagles look at it. They're looking at it from their own perspective. I'm looking at it from the way the Eagles look at it, and looking at their draft history, it's very clear. They value three positions: offensive line, defensive line, and quarterback. Those are the positions that they're going to attack in this upcoming draft. And now that they've traded back far enough, I think that wide receiver is definitely a position that I can see them using the number 12 pick on. I could not see them using that at number 6, which is why they traded back. So, you know, without a doubt, I mean, this is, in my opinion, this is a great move. And once again, this goes back to my last podcast where I essentially said that I am way more excited about the Eagles' future. Especially now. Now the Eagles have 12 draft picks this year. I still expect the Zach Ertz trade on the way, which is going to give them even more firepower. And now they have potentially three first-round picks next year. So I imagine that this, you know, the future of this franchise, if they draft relatively well, is going to be very strong. And they are set themselves up flexibility-wise for next year to possibly get a quarterback if Jalen Hurts doesn't work out. But it looks like Jalen Hurts is definitely getting this year. And no matter what happens, if they finish the year, you know, 8-9 or, you know, mediocre, 6-11, you know, whatever, they will have the firepower to trade multiple firsts to go up and get whoever the top quarterback prospects are in next year's draft, which I'm totally comfortable with. I'm really happy for this trade. I know a lot of people aren't, and a lot of people here are going to be very upset, but I couldn't be happier with this trade, to be honest with you. And Jalen Hurts, it's official. He is the starting quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles for 2021. No matter what Joe Flacco said in his press conference. Now, obviously, Joe Flacco's press conference is another big story that came out not too long ago. I didn't really want to do a podcast on it. I think people are way overreacting about a backup quarterback. They're really trying to make – I mean, it's been a slow offseason up to this point. Now that the Eagles have made a trade in the draft, this is obviously a huge lead. But ultimately, I feel like it's just a lot of clickbait news. A lot of people are trying to make Joe Flacco seem like he's going to come in and destroy the Eagles locker room by trying to be the number one quarterback. He has to understand, if people have such short-term memory, if people don't remember that Chase Daniels said the exact same thing when he came to Philadelphia. He said, "I'm coming for your job, bro." He said about Carson Wentz, even though Carson Wentz was the number two pick in the draft. This is what these athletes do. They have a competitive mentality. They're here to compete. That's their entire life. That's their entire livelihood. What do you expect Joe Flacco to say? "I'm coming here just to hold a clipboard and, you know, eat Cheetos on the sideline." I mean, it's ridiculous for that people are trying to make a huge deal out of the fact that these are professional athletes at the highest level that have competed for championships and competed for, you know, everything, millions of dollars their entire lives. They've put it all on the line, their bodies, their minds, everything, their relationships, everything, sacrificed everything to be in a position where they are. And you are surprised that these guys are competitive people and they want to play? I mean, it's just ridiculous. I can't imagine having such a boring point of you know, to talk about on a podcast than Joe Flacco, the backup quarterback, a one-year deal, by the way. I mean, this isn't Nick Foles. Nick Foles came back, maybe be more of a story. Maybe if, I mean, we've had backup quarterbacks throughout the history of Philadelphia that have been very interesting. Guys like Michael Vick, obviously, who we signed, who came in after, you know, obviously the dog charges, all that stuff. I mean, Nick Foles obviously was a very big backup story. Kevin Cobb was a backup story when they drafted him. While Donovan McNabb was still kind of, you know, in his heyday. He was still kind of in his prime. I mean, there's a lot of big backup stories to backup quarterbacks throughout the years. This is not one of them. Joe Flacco is not one of them. I love the Joe Flacco signing. I wish it was a little bit cheaper. But when you think about the philosophy behind what the Eagles look like they're trying to do, once again, Joe Flacco is perfect. He's a guy that Jalen Hurts can learn from. He's a former champion in this league, which is obviously is, you know, something that you're not going to get from every backup quarterback. But this is a guy that you know, Jalen Hurts can look up to. He can learn from. Hopefully, if the Eagles make it to the playoffs, maybe he can pick up some. You know, I think that Jalen Hurts could possibly be that type of guy who could eventually lead the Eagles to a championship. And he can learn a lot from Joe Flacco. But when you look at that, based off of the fact that Joe Flacco is also a horrible backup quarterback at this point, I think he's a very poor player at this point. It's perfect because if for whatever reason he has to play, if Jalen Hurts gets hurt, if he misses significant time, I don't want to win games. That's not the point. If Jalen Hurts goes down for some reason or he just doesn't look good, that's perfect. Put Joe Flacco in there and lose games because I don't want to win games and have a mediocre season and not get a draft pick. I would rather lose games, get a high draft pick, and then next year come away with a big quarterback if one of those two scenarios plays out. So ultimately, to me, I love the signing. So this is a situation where you get a really good veteran type of quarterback that will never really have Jalen Hurts feeling the pressure. If you brought in Nick Foles, you know, you might immediately have people saying, play Nick Foles. There's people that aren't even sold on Jalen Hurts now, and he hasn't even played but a couple of games. So if you brought in a real guy like that, that has a Philadelphia connection, or an even bigger name than Joe Flacco, who everybody pretty much considers is washed, Jalen Hurts might immediately feel that pressure from the backup quarterback. He's not going to feel that pressure from Joe Flacco. Nobody in their right mind is going to say, you know, put Joe Flacco in. I mean, come on, man. He's terrible. Even when he was at his best in Baltimore, he was pretty much just an above-average quarterback. The guy never made a Pro Bowl in his life, which, considering the guy was a high first-round pick, the guy was a Super Bowl MVP, the guy's done a lot in this league, it's very surprising that Joe Flacco has never been voted to a Pro Bowl. That means that he's never had a season worthy of recognition, even though he played on a great Ravens team, and that was a large part of the reason that he won so many games. So ultimately, Joe Flacco's washed. Everybody knows it. Nobody's going to be asking for him to play over Jalen Hurts, and Jalen Hurts is going to get the benefit of seeing what a veteran quarterback can do. And, you know, people are really trying to make it clickbait titles based off the fact that Joe Flacco might not want to mentor young quarterbacks based off the things he said in the past. He was asked point blank at the press conference. He was asked, you know, his relationship of being a backup quarterback with Jalen Hurts. He said, I'm here to help the team win, and I'm going to do whatever is asked of me. That's the end of the statement. Every other person that would say that, you know, you're seeing all these stories, people with these clickbait titles just ignoring the fact that he basically owned that if he's the backup quarterback and they ask him to help Jalen Hurts, he will do that. End of story. So I don't really feel like it's there's any point to keep going on and on with this narrative that Joe Flacco's not going to help him and yada, yada, yada. I really don't see that as the case. He knows at this point, even though I'm sure, you know, when he originally got traded from Baltimore, he went from being a starter to, I think, it was Denver, which was understandable that they didn't really have a quarterback. They didn't have a first-round pick in Denver. It's understandable to have that mentality there. And it's understandable to possibly have that mentality, you know, maybe when you go to New York. At some point, it's going to get into his head. Especially now that he's in you know, pretty much in hometown area, an area that he grew up in. I don't know, he might even grew up a Philadelphia fan for all I know, because he's from the Delaware area. So ultimately, he might be to the point now where he's just grown up a little bit and learned that, you know what, my days as a starter are pretty much done, and that most teams are just asking me to mentor young quarterbacks. At some point, he's going to come around to that. Like I said, the only real issue I have with this entire thing is I do feel like they overpaid a little bit, and the projected possibility of that going up to like $7.5 million is just ridiculous. I hope he never makes that, because obviously that's not going to have very good, you know, implications for our future. But, you know, Joe Flacco, this deal definitely has – the reason he signed this deal is because he's close to retirement and he knows it. There's a bunch of like shadow years on it where he's going to be basically getting paid a small amount of, you know, a couple hundred thousand. I don't know the exact contract details because I don't know if they've even been released. But there are multiple shadow years attached to this. So he will be getting a check years after he's retired, which is something that, you know, DeSean Jackson also was like the same type of deal. Howie Roseman's doing these type of deals where it's going to, you know, minimally affect the salary cap. But these guys are going to be getting, good pay while they're retired. You know what I mean? That's basically what it is. Once they're retired, they're still going to be getting checks from the NFL, which is something that I would imagine, you know, most veterans would really like. And I mean, you know, for the most part, this team doesn't have a ton of money. So to get any veteran caliber quarterback like this, I feel like it's a questionable, expenditure of resources based off of the fact that they don't have a lot of money. And I would like to see them trade Zach Ertz before the draft, so maybe they can open up some more money and sign a lot of these second level free agents, because there's still a lot. There's still a lot of really good free agents that I'm not going to go over because I went over that in the last podcast. But ultimately, you know, this is just, you know, this is what the team is now. They don't have a lot of money, but they definitely have a lot of draft picks. They probably got more draft picks than any team in the league right now, which is definitely a great position to be in. They definitely have more draft picks in this particular draft. And for people that are just flat out like, wow, we're not getting one of the receivers I wanted, they still can. They still can, and they probably still will, and they still have a lot of flexibility. It's much easier to trade up from 12 than it is, you know, 12 to 10 or 9 or something like that, than it is to trade up from 6, which, like I said, I'm actually kind of surprised, and I don't even 100% believe that the Eagles were in on possibly trading up to 3. It's definitely, I'm sure that, you know, whoever, whatever NFL insider dropped that story that the Eagles are trying to trade up to 3, there's 3 teams that were involved in trades today. The Dolphins were involved in 2 trades between the Eagles and the Niners, and then the Eagles and the Niners. So it's not too hard to say, well, like, these guys have been communicating all day. Well, yeah, they've been communicating all day. They made 2 separate trades, though. There's no way, if the idea was that these teams were all in together to trade together, then I don't think it would have took such a right turn. If once the Niners, this is the story apparently, that the Eagles were trying to trade up for number 3, the Niners, you know, they basically backed off, and then the Niners jumped in and traded up to number 3. If it was something where the Eagles were that into trading up to number 3, they wouldn't have immediately turned around and traded back to number 12. I mean, there has to have been separate, you know, trade talks in order. Maybe the Dolphins were talking to the Niners, and then they didn't want to move back that far. I mean, there's no way of knowing, but they're all there at the, you know, at the BYU Pro Day, kicking stuff around. That's where this stuff basically is happening right now. It's very similar to the combine, where most people, typically a lot of, you know, deals get done when all the NFL GMs and owners are at the combine. A lot of them are there right now talking, you know, while this kid's working out, and they just kick some things around. This is what came of it. I don't really think that, you know, I really find it hard to believe. And like I said, I really think that if the Eagles did want to trade for, or they did want to draft a quarterback, I still feel like they probably could have sat at 6. Maybe got Trey Lance. Maybe, I don't know, Mac Jones now is a guy that, you know, he's probably moving up the board just based off of necessity. He's probably going to go a lot higher than he should based off the fact that I would imagine the number 4 pick will eventually, well, maybe not the number 4 pick, but maybe the number 5 pick will eventually become, you know, quarterback. I think they're going to see at least, well, I think Trey Lance is probably going to go in the top 5 now, which I think that the Eagles, even if they stayed at 6, they might have known that they probably don't have a shot to get any of these quarterbacks now. At least I think that's what NFL GMs are hearing. I mean, they're probably expecting the Falcons at 4 to take a quarterback, which is why, you know, jumping to 3 where the Dolphins are makes the most sense. There's probably not a lot of they're probably going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, which is, you know, kind of insane. And then I expect the Cincinnati Bengals to take Penei Sewell. I think that they're going to essentially just surround their franchise quarterback with blocking. I think that's the best way to go. So now that the Dolphins are at 6, if you want to project out, I think that's probably a spot where the Dolphins could go offensive weapon. You know, that makes a lot of sense. I think the Lions can probably go weapon at 7. The Carolina Panthers probably will not. That's another spot. The Panthers and the Broncos are probably 2 teams that are going to be fighting it out for, you know, maybe Mac Jones at this point, you know, because they both really need a quarterback. And I think that that's, you're going to see one of the quarterbacks go there. The other position, I mean, I don't really think that the Broncos or the Panthers really need receivers. So you can see how these receivers are going to slide. I mean, at the top 10, I could see the Lions taking a receiver. Cowboys aren't taking a receiver. Giants aren't taking a receiver. And, you know, then obviously the Eagles at 12. So the Eagles are still going to have a lot of firepower if they want to move up, but they're definitely going to be sitting pretty when one of these top receivers falls to them at 12. So people that are upset about that, you really have no reason to be upset about that. You should be happy about that. Now, as far as the rest of this podcast, I had a lot of stuff planned, but this really obviously jumped, you know, jumped the shark. It jumped everything based off the fact that, you know, I think a lot of people are overreacting. I think this is a good day for Eagles fans. I mean, I'm super excited at the idea of the Eagles having 3 first-round picks next year that could really go any number of ways. I mean, I think that the Colts, getting us getting a first-round pick from the Colts, I think that's pretty solid. I think that's pretty set in stone. I mean, the only real issue is if Carson Wentz gets hurt, which even in years that he's gotten hurt, he's still played 70%, 75% of snaps. I mean, his career, you know, even in seasons he ended in injury, for his career, he was still well over 80%, you know, playing games. So I would imagine that they're going to get that much out of him. And like I said, I'm just going to hope for the best, obviously. So if they get that first, that'll probably be the latest, because the Colts are a really good football team. So that'll probably be a late first, maybe somewhere in the mid-20s. But the Dolphins, I mean, that one there has me super excited. The Eagles as well. I mean, the Eagles season could go any number of ways. They could have a good year. Jalen Hurts could look like a star, and they, based off the fact that they have a last place schedule, they could come out of nowhere and win this division. I still remain hopeful that that's a possibility, and it's really based all on how Jalen Hurts plays. So if Jalen Hurts plays like a Superman, he leads his team, he puts him on his back, you know, say they get a receiver in the first pick, whatever, or they get immediate contributions from their first round draft pick, or a couple of draft picks, because they're going to need that. There's a very good opportunity that the Eagles could surprise people. I think that the safe bet, though, is that it's probably a top 10 pick again, maybe a top 12 pick. So that's going to be obviously a good pick. Then you look at the Dolphins pick, which, like I said, they're a good football team. They're a team on the rise. They have a really good defense. They got a really good coach. But you know, Tua could dunk that entire team. He could, you know, come out not looking very good this year, not looking very explosive, look like a checkdown king. The NFL could, you know, in theory, in the second season, have figured him out already. And then they have no offensive. They have no offensive firepower. And that offense is just a joke. And then, you know, obviously the Patriots could play very well. And they could easily be a top 15 pick as well. I mean, they could have a good season, you know, a 9-8 type season or something like that. Or, you know, and that's still a pretty good season, but that would still have them towards the top end of the draft. So I would imagine the Eagles are in a position where next year they're going to have a ton of cap space opened up, and they're going to have a ton of draft picks to go into next year's NFL draft with. Now, if Jalen Hurts looks like a player, you don't have to worry about that, but you can easily put a ton of talent around him with three blue chip prospects in the first round, right around Jalen Hurts. I mean, you got to love that. That is such an exciting future for Eagles fans that we should all be excited about. I would much rather have that scenario, a year where the Eagles have possibly three first-round picks next year, even though we all pretty much know this season, we're washed, you know, this season's a wash. Not saying that they can't win games, but this season, for the most part, they're not winning the Super Bowl. I think pretty much most people have accepted that, and they're okay with that. But this upcoming season, it's really all about the development of young players. They'll now have 12 draft picks, maybe more if they trade Zach Ertz. We'll get to watch the young guys grow, and we'll get to watch Jalen Hurts grow. And if that all goes in a positive direction, then they have a position next. They're in a position next year where they can push all their chips to the table, go out and sign some massive free agent contracts, bring in some big time players. Because their salary cap situation, real quick, I'm just going to look that up. Next year is way better. You know what I mean? It's not that great this year as I'm typing, which, you know, like I said, I probably should have had this planned a little bit better. But their salary cap situation next year is light years ahead of what it is this year. And I'm actually on the wrong website, so I'm definitely stalling. But without a doubt, their cap situation this year, right now they're like $3 million under. Next year, it completely does a 180. A lot of it's based off of the fact that, you know, the COVID restrictions are expected to go away. I'm not entirely sure how accurate this is, but as of next year, they have $25 million in cap space. And they could easily open that up because Zach Ertz is still in the books here. I still am betting against the fact that he's going to be here for the future. So, you know, there's definitely a lot more opportunity to open that number up and make that number even bigger than it is right now. They don't have, their hands are kind of tied right now. So let's just say that, you know, for whatever reason, they open up close to $30 million. Let's just use that as a good number. That's plenty of money going into free agency. That's plenty of money to get some high-quality profile free agents. And then, obviously, the year after that, it gets even bigger. And their salary cap space in 2023 at the moment is $100 million. And that's based on the fact, obviously, that they don't have a huge contract holding them back anymore at the quarterback position. So, obviously, they're going to have to re-sign some guys with that $100 million. But without going too far into that, over the next 2 years, their salary cap issues are gone. They're going to have a ton of money to spend, and they're going to have hopefully a lot of young developed players out of these 12 draft picks. Hopefully, I mean, the last time that they've had a really good draft, you know, it was based portionally on the fact that they had a lot of picks. I mean, when they have a lot of picks, they typically come away with some good players. Two of the last couple of drafts, they only had 5 picks. How do you expect to have a great year drafting when you only have 5 picks? They were trying to, you know, basically sustain a Super Bowl caliber roster with no picks. They didn't think of the future at all, and that's how we got here. Now they have 12 picks. Like I said, I'm going to guess they're going to get more before it's all said and done. And I think that they're going to come away with at least 5 or 6 good players out of this draft that they can build a future on. Then you also have a ton of first round picks next year to kind of put the cherry on top of the sundae, bring in a bunch of really, you know, blue chip prospects, three blue chip prospects in on next year's draft, and they're sitting pretty. I mean, if it doesn't work out, they're still sitting pretty. If they have to, if the plan doesn't work out, Jalen Hurts really is the plan at this point. If he falters, they're in a perfect position to blow that up and basically move on from him, because they can trade up. You know, they're going to be able to get a new quarterback with all the first round draft pick talent that they now have. So they've hedged their bets, you know, and they're in a position to go one of two ways, and they're both better than where they are now. If Jalen Hurts works out, I think in a couple years they'll be a contender because of this. If he does work, if he doesn't work out, they're in a perfect position to get themselves back to where they need to be by essentially they have enough draft power, enough ammo now to trade up and essentially, essentially finish this deal, get a new quarterback. If Jalen Hurts, he has this year, okay? He's flat out got this year to show something, to show that he's the franchise quarterback, or they're going to go get a guy, and they have all the ability to do that now based off of this trade. So I love this trade. I think this is a great trade. I think that, you know, for all the people that are talking mess about Howie Roseman, I know I haven't been happy with him either. This is a great move. This is another very savvy move for a very good GM. And, you know, this is something that I'm excited about the future of the Eagles. I've been saying it for a long time. I mean, I'm an Eagles fan. I'm always going to be an Eagles fan, so I guess I'm always optimistic. I'm always going to be optimistic. But I think this trade sets them up beautifully based off of their philosophy and based off of the reality of the NFL, because I think that the Eagles do have a good philosophy. Their draft philosophy, in my opinion, is correct. It's resulted in a very good run over the last 20 years. The Eagles have been a good football team for the last 20 years at least, and they've won a championship in that time. They've been to six NFC championship games. How many teams can say that? That's essentially one every three years. You know what I mean? As we're going into the 2021 season, that's a pretty good track record to be in an NFC. I mean, look at like a team like the Cowboys, who've had two playoff wins in the last 20 years, and they were one of the models of the NFL. The Eagles have been to six. I might even be right. They might have been to seven. I know they went to five with Andy Reid, and then obviously they went to the one they won the Super Bowl in. So they've been. I think I'm right. They've been to six conference championship games in 20 years. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And this move says to me, if you can see clearly past, you know, your own personal wants or desires when it comes to wanting the top receiver off the board or whatever, wanting, you know, you can still get that guy. You can still get a great receiver, and you can have your cake and eat it too. The Eagles have done a great job of, you know, basically hedging their bets, basically getting this team to a point where if it doesn't work out the way they want, that they can come right back around and they can still have a very bright and positive future. So even though this year has looked pretty bleak, the future is bright in Philadelphia, and it's largely based off of this this trade, based off of the what I'm seeing as far as the, you know, the salary cap handling and the draft capital that they've accrued over these next two drafts. I mean, they just have to draft a little bit better. You know, I don't know. That's probably going to be the question mark probably a lot of people have. But even a blind squirrel finds a nut. So with all these picks, like I said, I expect at least five or six of them to be good pieces going forward based off the fact that the Eagles have so much. They will get a few right just based off the fact that they'll draft guys that are, you know, there's guys that make themselves. They'll draft a couple of guys that are going to be, you know, guys that you know, they just figure it out themselves. I mean, they're guys like that. So I really feel good about this draft. Ultimately, I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast there. I was talking really fast. I'm really excited about this trade. I really, for the last couple of podcasts, I've been saying it very loud and clear. If you've been listening, anybody out there has been listening to this podcast, I've been saying it loud and clear that the Eagles should either take a quarterback six, which I didn't really necessarily want, or trade that pick so that somebody else would, and we could still move back and get a receiver or get a blue chip prospect player. And we did exactly that. And now, like I said, the trade that we made, I wasn't even necessarily 100% expecting a first-round pick. We got that first-round pick. Now we have multiple first-round picks. You got to be happy when you're in that situation. It typically works out. Teams that typically have a bunch of first-round picks typically turn the corner. Look at the Browns. The Browns did that just a few years ago. Now they have one of the best rosters in the league. Obviously you got to draft correctly, because they've had years where they didn't draft correctly with multiple first-round picks and it didn't work out. So very excited. I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast. If you guys got this far and you like what you've been hearing, like I said, I've given you plenty of reasons to listen to this podcast. I've dug deep with some of the statistical research that I've done, like I said, going back through all the drafts, and I called this trade weeks ago in my podcast. So I've given you plenty of reasons to be listeners to this podcast. These are things that I've all been saying the Eagles will do and should happen. So if you want to be ahead of the curve, if you guys want to hear things that, you know, like I said, I called it. And I'm going to do it again in the future, because I know this team. I called it last year too. I honestly called that they would take Jalen Reagor over JJ or over Justin Jefferson, which is something that I've got receipts. I mean, I called that. I got screenshots of me calling that in some social media groups that the Eagles would do that just because I know how the Eagles think. And that's exactly what I did. I didn't say it was a good thing. I didn't say it was a smart thing. I just said that that's what they would do based off the fact that they wanted to get some speed on the field. And I called that 100% too. So this is, you know, just a number of times that I've called what the Eagles are going to do based off the fact that I'm a lifelong fan and I just know how this team and this organization thinks. So if you guys want to stay ahead of the curve, hit the follow button. I'd really appreciate it. And other than that, this has been Philadelphia Eagles Talk. I'm your host, Kevin Woodman. Thank you for listening. I'm out.